I just think it's important for everyone to know that the fuel conditions being what they are and the weather being what it is going to be challenging suppression efforts across the province for us, in particular in the north. But as the heat wave continues through this week, we're going to start to see the hazard increase in the south as well. I'll start a little bit with a provincial overview here. So we've had 206 fires in the province to date. That's from January 1st until now. 85 of those fires have been in the Prince George Fire Center. For reference, the Prince George Fire Center is not just the city of Prince George. It essentially is just south of Prince George, all the way up to the Northwest Territories and Yukon border. Really, Fort St. James is the cutoff to the west, and the Alberta border is the cutoff to the east. It is our largest fire center in the province. We have six. It is our largest, and it has experienced the most activity to date. It's important, I think, to know that our 10-year averages are a telling sign for what the season has looked like to date. As I said, we've had 206 fires to date. The 10-year average is 162. So not significantly more, but certainly a little bit of an increase over the 10-year average. The hectares burned to date is where you see a bit of a drastic increase in our 10-year average. So our 10-year average is roughly 11,000 hectares burnt at this point in time. We're upwards around 50,000 hectares burnt at this time, and likely more. We're having some challenges mapping some of our large fires in the very far north just due to smoke constraints. So likely even more than 50,000 hectares. So starting in the northeast, which is the primary hotspot for fires right now in the province, we have two main complexes in the northeast. We have the North Complex, which is just south of the border with the Northwest Territories and the Yukon. We have an incident management team deployed there. And that's a complex of three or four fires that are all fairly significant in size. Fortunately, at this time, they're not impacting communities like our southern complex in the Prince George Fire Center, which is the Stoddard Creek Fire, the Red Creek Fire, and that's in and around the vicinity of Fort St. John. As the public knows, we put a Fort St. John evacuation alert yesterday. That remains in place, and we have not upgraded it to an order at this point. We saw that our efforts yesterday, we were able to steer that fire and keep it roughly 20 to 25 kilometers away from Fort St. John. So we'll continue to put our effort into those fires and continue to try to ensure that Fort St. John will be okay. But we are going to see challenging conditions today and for the next number of days. I should say the Stoddard Creek Fire is roughly 18,000 hectares, but I'm not going to go into specifics on all the fires. I do encourage everyone to go to bcwildfire.ca, look at the fires of note, and you will get all the relevant information on each of the fires as well as the complexes, which is really up to date as we can get information online. So we do update those frequently so that we can give the public and everyone the most up-to-date information. Just quickly on the weather, we're living in it right now. Obviously, as we stand here in Kamloops, it's going to get to 30, 35 degrees today. In the northeast, we're seeing that ridge, the ridge of high pressure that's built in over Alberta, BC, and Saskatchewan has stabilized. It's going to sit over us for the next 2 or 3 days. We're going to see temperature records being broken likely across the province, in particular in the north, but across the province. And we're seeing drying of our fuels everywhere. What that means for BC is that, yes, the fire hazard is significant and extreme in the northeast of the province. Slowly but surely through the week, we're seeing that hazard increase all the way down to the south with the U.S. border and including the Coastal Fire Center. We have started to pick up a couple new fires, one in Vanderhoof, around Vanderhoof. It's actually outside. It's about 20 hectares, so not as significant as the ones farther north, but still a fire. We have it resourced, and we're feeling fairly confident on that one. But we also picked up a couple fires in the Coastal Fire Center yesterday, and they're challenging our suppression efforts as well as they get into that slash fuel type on the coast. And unfortunately, yesterday at the end of the day, just as daytime heating comes into play, we saw some lightning in the Southeast Fire Center, right at the bottom as it meets with the U.S. border. So we picked up one new fire out of that lightning, but anticipate picking up a few more today as we get our aviation resources that are up and suppressing that fire and looking for others. I have said in the past at briefings that our fire season for July, August, and September is dependent on June rains. That remains the same. We are now in a position, though, with our drying across the province and our fuels being so receptive to ignition and fire spread, that the June rains are the biggest variable for us as we head into the core fire season. But obviously, as we sit here right now, we are in the core fire season in parts of the province as we're actively suppressing upwards of 50,000 hectares of fire in the Northeast alone. So April was drier than normal. May obviously is stacking up to be much drier than normal. And so we're still obviously forecasting ahead to June and seeing if we can see some measurable precipitation in BC to knock the hazard down. The good news is that as this ridge comes to a close, likely around holiday Monday of the May long weekend, we are going to see a breakdown of this high pressure ridge. It's going to bring our temperatures back closer to seasonal, which is good news. Unfortunately, when a ridge breaks down, you also see high winds, the potential for thunderstorms, and it doesn't always come with precipitation on the first day. And so what that means for BC is that we have a high likelihood of seeing fire starts really across the province if that lightning, depending on where that lightning tracks, if it shows up on holiday Monday. So that's something for the public in BC, really all residents of BC, to ensure they're paying attention to that weather as they're out in the backcountry. As they see smoke, report it. You can report fires through our mobile app. You can call us at *555 on your cell phone. Please report any smoke that you see. Even if you think it's already been reported, we appreciate that information. It allows us the ability to go and check and see if there is actually a new fire or if it's an existing one. And we appreciate those calls. The other thing that's happening in BC that I want to mention today is that we are putting Category 2 and 3 prohibitions across the province that will be in place effective Thursday. In the north, those already existed. But we're seeing, and in the Caribou, they went on, I believe, today. We're going to see them shift into the southern three fire centers on Thursday. So Category 2 and 3 prohibition going in place on Thursday. In addition to that, we're going to see a campfire prohibition go into place for the Prince George Fire Center. That will be effective on Thursday as well. So as BC Wildfire Service, we are attempting to prepare the province as best we can to be ready for what may come this weekend and what is coming even as we sit here today with our fires in the north. And those prohibitions are one of many things that we want and need to do across this province to ensure we're as prepared as we can be. And so, as I said at the beginning, we are challenged with the fire behavior and the conditions that we see. In the south, we still have green up, we call it. We have green conditions and fire is less receptive. But we are going to see that come to an end with this heat. And that what that means is that we'll be transitioning into really more receptive fuels for fires to start and fires to spread. So with that, I encourage everyone to have a safe long weekend. I know it's going to be beautiful out there. I know people are going to want to go out and explore. We encourage you to do so, but we encourage you to take the necessary precautions. We encourage you to check your weather. We encourage you to check that you're not in an active fire danger area through our app. And be vigilant, because we really can't afford to have human-caused fires with lightning coming in. And so please be careful out there this long weekend, and we'll open it up to questions now.
Can I just, because we're doing this online, if you have a question, can you please just go to the mic, identify your name, media outlet, and to whom you're directing the question, please.
Okay, I'm direct Daryl from Global. My question is, I've got three of them. The first one is, are fire crews being recalled from Alberta?
Yeah, great question. So obviously we have been paying attention to what's happening in Alberta for the last number of weeks. They asked for assistance from the rest of Canada. They continued to ask for assistance from the rest of Canada and even the United States and beyond. About, I believe it was 10 or 11 days ago, we sent an incident management team, which is one of our teams that runs complex fires. We have six of them in this province. We said that we would lend them one. It's a 14-day deployment, which is coming to an end this week. So they will be home this weekend to reset on their normal reset cycle and available in BC come Monday. It's worth noting that we still have two incident management teams that are available to deploy right now in BC that have not deployed. We have not sent any fire crews to Alberta. We sent structure protection crews. Same schedule as our incident management team. They will be home this weekend, and we still continue to have capacity in our structure protection unit.
Now, looking at Fort St. John, they're on alert right now. I think that the fire might be some distance away, but I guess approximately 20,000 people live in Fort St. John. How quickly can you evacuate, and what does that plan look like?
So great question. Not a question for BC Wildfire Service. We recommend evacuation alerts and orders based on fire behavior, fire weather, and conditions. And so we made the recommendation to go to alert. When we do that, we work closely with the local government, emergency management, or EMCR, Emergency Management and Climate Readiness. We work with that agency to work with the community to ensure there's a safe evacuation plan if it is 20,000 residents. And so that planning has been underway. It's ready to go should we have to pull the trigger on an order.
Anybody else with a question on site? I'll also remind people you are limited to one question and one follow-up only. Thank you.
Tim from Castanet. You just painted a pretty dire picture, I think, of the forecast. Why not have a campfire ban across the province?
Yeah, really, really good question. I will say, and I don't think I mentioned it, that we assess our prohibition activity, especially when we see hazard and weather like we're sitting in right now, we assess it hourly. So it's not to say that there won't be additional campfire bans. Right now, we have resource capacity in this province. We're not seeing campfires starting fires that we're dealing with in the Northeast at this point in time. And so we're trying to find balance between allowing appropriate activity, safe appropriate activity in every other center except for the Northeast. But that's not to say that by the weekend we may not shift to putting a campfire ban across the province and or looking at it next week. Right now, through our assessment, the conditions do not call for that in the south with the variables that we put into it, but we are actively assessing that, and if a decision needs to be made, we can put one in place very quickly.
This one's for the minister. You said 330 firefighters have been hired. How many more? How many openings are there?
Well, I think it's just important to note that the new Ministry of Emergency Services and Climate Resilience is the government's direct response to what we anticipate due to climate change, more intense fires, a longer fire season, and that's why we've also committed to the budget for year-round preparation. It's become necessary as we move forward. And emergency services, to follow up a little bit on Cliff's comments, is in charge of the evacuation process, and they have well-developed plans and teams that will assist and direct evacuation should that become necessary. An alert is simply a notice to be ready. The order that has not been given is to leave immediately. And so those folks are ready to help and assist with that work with local governments and First Nations governments. In terms of additional people, I'll probably turn it back over to Cliff in terms of the numbers, but they had a boot camp here for the new recruits and very enthusiastic. And those are people, not people who've been recalled, not people who've worked before. These are 330 brand new recruits. And so that, I think, is a measure of the commitment that the province is making to the fire service and to the protection of people in British Columbia.
Minister, don't walk away. It's Martella from CBC. Just in keeping with what Tim was asking about, we're heading into a long weekend with extremely dry conditions for much of the province. Mm-hmm. What education and enforcement is being done to make sure people are careful and they're not lighting campfires in a situation where we're going to see more fires started?
I think Cliff has touched upon it. It's very important that people take the necessary precautions when they're using a campfire, and there are the fire prevention programs are available online. We've again expanded those programs as well. So most people have common sense, I know. So I don't really want to lecture, but I think it's just important that people have a heightened awareness of the fire danger. Sometimes people just aren't aware of how what the situation is. And I think Cliff has provided that background that should encourage people to be cautious this weekend.
And just to follow up, I guess when it comes to resources, we've heard this before, but in the past, the Forest Minister has always said, whatever you need, they'll get. Is there anything right now urgently that's needed that's not here yet?
No, I think the advanced preparation has started, and ordinarily the fire season is a little bit further down the road, but fortunately we are started early with the new budget, the new recruits, and the service is ready. And as you say, if further resources are needed, whether it's airplanes or initial attack crews or any of the other groups that are necessary to successfully fight fires, they will be available.
Thank you. I think we have one more question from site here, and I'll just remind media online to press star one to enter the queue. Thank you.
Hey, Michael Reed from CFJC. Just a question regarding the Stoddard and Red Creek fires. I know crews needed to kind of back out of those fires yesterday. Can you kind of just describe the situation and why that call was made?
Yeah. So we did back our resources off of those two fires yesterday. It was anticipated by our advanced planning unit that the wind was going to shift yesterday and it was going to push from the north and move that fire into really, I suppose, fuel that was very receptive to burn. And I won't go into too much detail about the northeast, but it's all black spruce fuel type up there. When it's dry, that is a very volatile fuel type. So if a fire has wind on it and can get up and run, it becomes extremely dangerous for our ground crews. We continue to fly aviation resources, but as the conditions are what they are in the northeast, it becomes ineffective, to be very honest. And that's something that although we pulled back from fighting, I guess what you'd say is the head of the fire, we continue to work the flanks of the fires when we have those conditions, because there's still good work we can do in case there's another wind shift to stop it from blowing out another way when the wind comes from the east the next time. So that is something that we do, I wouldn't say regularly, but it's not uncommon for us for safety reasons to pull off of fires because, you know, I think it's worth noting, we heard yesterday in Saskatchewan and the Northwest Territories, they had a couple of fires that ran 26 kilometers in a day. That is a significant growth for a fire. And we saw our fires in the Peace, not yesterday, but we have seen them run 10 to 12 kilometers in a 12-hour period. So that's significant fire behavior that we will not put our staff in danger for. And so that's why that decision was made yesterday.
Hi, I'm Maya from Castanet. I was just wondering how many firefighters BPWS plans to hire coming up.
So I think the minister has touched on the 330 that went through our new recruit process. That is something we run every year. Generally, it's around 200 new recruits that we have. So it's an additional 100 plus that we put through this year. It is also worth noting that this winter, heading into this winter, we hired 113 full-time staff for BC Wildfire Service in support of response, preparedness and response efforts. So those staff are already in place. So we have seen a significant uplift in our full-time staffing contingent, as well as an uplift in our crew contingent and our auxiliary force. I also want to note that we have great relationships with the contract community, forest contract community, to provide additional ground crews for us, upwards of 500 to 700 people that we can activate. And we have started to activate those contracts across the north, and we'll continue to activate them in the south as we go through this.
We'll go to our online media now. Thank you.
Good morning. A reminder to media on the line to press star one to enter the queue. A reminder, you are limited to one question and one follow-up. We will begin with Richard Zussman, Global News.
Hi, Minister. I missed the first little bit, so I'm sorry if this is repetitive. Can you give me a sense of the historical significance of what we're seeing in Fort St. John? Are we worried about how early this is in the season and this being sustained based on other fires we've seen over the last little bit here in BC? And is there any thought of bringing back some of the resources that have been dispatched to Alberta back to BC to accommodate for what we're seeing right now?
Cliff is the specialist who I will call upon to supplement my answer, has said that the seasonal, there's a 10-year seasonal average. It's running a bit higher, about 20% higher this season. So June is the key month. If rain comes in June, then that will impact what the fire season in July, August, and September is like. In terms of the return of crews, I'll ask Cliff to give you a precise detail on that, but certainly we're We did, through an agreement, send one crew to Alberta, and they will return at the end of this week. Cliff, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, thank you, Minister. All I would add about the Alberta resources is that we don't make decisions like that without factoring in what this province may face for the next 14 days. Losing resources to support another agency, and I think we all have seen what Alberta is going through. We used our advanced planning team. We knew this weather was coming, and that's why we didn't send more. So they will be back this weekend to normal reset, but we do not need to deploy them heading into this week. We have additional incident management teams that are ready to deploy in this province right now, and we have structural protection units and crews that are available to deploy right now as well. So they will be home this weekend, but I do just want to stress that we don't make these decisions without factoring in what does this province need. And that's why what we sent was, in the past, when Alberta and or other agencies have called for assistance, we have at times sent 400 staff. This deployment, I believe we sent 20, and they will all be returning this weekend.
Do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, and for Cliff, how worried are you about the long-term forecast here across the province? What are you seeing that makes you concerned? Is there anything you're seeing in the forecast that makes you at all optimistic?
Well, so great question. I wouldn't say there's anything in the forecast that has me really nervous about what's to come, because I feel like as an organization and as a province, we have lived through challenging fire seasons over the last number of years, whether it was 17, 18, or 21. This year right now, we're having a very early start. That's why we're here today having this conversation. The breakdown, when this ridge of high pressure that's causing this heat across the province, when it breaks down, that is the day that we will be paying close attention to, and I encourage the public to pay close attention to. It's hard to forecast right now whether it will come with lightning, what the winds will be like when that system breaks down on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. We can't even track the day it's going to break down yet. But that's the day that's going to really have the significant impact on whether we have lots of fires across the province, minimal fires, and what the recovery is going to look like after that. So is it bouncing back up to 30 degrees again, or is it going to stay seasonal? Right now, our forecast is saying that it will stay somewhat seasonal after the breakdown, and I think that's good news for us in terms of suppressing anything that's out there right now and or that may start in the next 7 days.
Next, we have Wolf Deffner with the Black Press. Wolf, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sort of looking at the bigger picture here, the discussion earlier sort of talks about what this situation sort of might mean for the summer. How reliable are your extrapolations about the summer? How can you sort of offer an adjective, or what sort of summer season do you expect?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. It's a question that we get asked every year, whether we're hot and dry or not, is what will the summer look like? I guess what I would say initially is this is like summer right now. We are all experiencing this across the province with this heat that is on us, and we're going to see the fire conditions as we have in the piece react as if it is summer. Now, I know your question is about really what is July, August, and September look like, which are traditionally our very challenging fire months in this province. It is very challenging to tell. Forecasting beyond 14 days is an unreliable science. Environment Canada has produced some, I guess what you would say is forecasting maps for what the summer will look like, but it's just above average, below average seasonal. And so right now they are forecasting that BC may be in some parts of the province above seasonal for the summer. And we use that to factor into our short and midterm planning, but it's very hard to know what July, August, and September will look like as I stand here today. I assure you that we're monitoring, and we work with Environment Canada closely to understand why they're putting the forecast out that they are. But we could also see a month of June that has, you know, 200 mils of rain across the province, and that will knock the hazard down in this province, and we'll have a slow start to the core fire season. I don't want to anticipate that. As an organization, we are anticipating that we will see very little to no precip in the month of May and in the month of June. Ideally, it will come, but if it doesn't come, we need to be prepared. and the province needs to be prepared for what this fire season could be, given the conditions that we're seeing right now in mid-May.
Do you have a follow-up?
Yes, thank you. Just sort of looking at the situation, what element of the current situation, of the current fire situation up in the northeast corner, but also in other parts of the province, has surprised you the most? What if any sign, or what if an element makes you say, I've never seen this before in my career doing this?
Yeah, and it's a really good question. I guess what I would say is that this is, although it's higher than our 10-year average, it's not abnormal for us to have a spring fire season. We have had fire seasons actually in the Peace Country, in the Prince George Fire Center. I believe it was 2015, where we saw something very similar unfold. And I will reference back to that fire season, because after we saw the spring fire season, we actually had a fairly average summer. And so there's nothing that I've seen to date. I mean, obviously we're breaking temperature records right now, so I would say that's abnormal. But given what we've seen across BC in the last decade, in particular in the last 5 years, I guess to be candid, I'm not surprised by much anymore. And that's why we have to turn to preparing for the worst. And ideally, the worst doesn't happen.
Next, we have Jennifer Mager, Radio Canada. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Yes, hi. Do you expect evacuation alerts or orders to take place in other places in the province in the coming days?
Great question. Difficult to forecast. As the hazard starts to move further south in the province, obviously right now we're seeing roughly 60% of our fires have been human caused. And so when a fire is human caused, generally speaking, it's in close proximity to communities. Not always, but most of the time. So I wouldn't say I expect to see orders and alerts across the province in different areas other than Prince George. But I think as the public of BC, we all need to be ready that at any moment we might be put on alert or order, and to follow those alerts and orders because they're put in place for a reason. So I certainly wouldn't be surprised if we saw alerts and orders start to shift out of just being in the Prince George Fire Center and making their way into the other fire centers across the province.
Do you have a follow-up?
Yes. When can the evacuated people from the Blueberry First Nation expect to go back to their homes?
So I understand this question, and it's something that is, I think it's top of mind for a lot of our staff in BC Wildfire Service, but also for the local government and the First Nation government of Blueberry First Nation. It's too soon to tell. I wish I had a better answer than that, but our job is to protect the lives of those people and the lives of our own responders. And we will not, we're not going to recommend lifting that order until it is safe for those people to go home. So I wish I could give you a time frame. I can't. And we will continue to monitor all of those situations that have orders and alerts around them. And we're very diligent at recommending a rescinding of an order or an alert as soon as it's safe to do so, so that people can get home and they can tend to what they need to tend to back in their home and their community.
Thank you. Unfortunately, the minister has to head out, but we can still take questions. So next we can go to Michelle Brunaro at CTV. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi there. Yes, you mentioned that the fire near Fort St. John's is still about 25 kilometers away. I'm wondering if you can tell me what is happening with the fire that is a concern there, and what specific challenges they might be facing fighting that today.
Yeah, so really good question. The Stoddard Creek Fire, which is also in vicinity of the Red Creek Fire and the Cameron Creek Fire, we call that a fire complex. We have an incident management team that's actively engaged on those three fires, which is really our highest level certified staff supporting suppression efforts on there. I think what we saw yesterday on those fires was that wind shift that came in started to push from the north. Today we're going to see more. We're forecast to see a little bit more stable winds, and so we should have hopefully more success with our suppression efforts up there today. The challenge is smoke. There is a lot of smoke up in the Northeast right now, burning from the Alberta fire, from our own fires, from fires in the Northwest Territories. And so it really hampers the ability for us to fly. We have to follow Transport Canada regulations for our pilots. And so the smoke is going to potentially be an issue. The good news is usually when smoke fills into a valley or into a community like it has in the north, is that it also limits fire behavior. Not all, doesn't get rid of fire behavior. There still is fire behavior, but it doesn't have the same ability to stand up and run the way that we've seen fires do that in Alberta and even in BC over the last couple of days.
Do you have a follow-up?
I'm just wondering if you have any updated size on those fires by any chance?
So I have sizes, but I would suggest you go to bcwildfire.ca for the most up-to-date info. Stoddard Creek, the last report I had was 18,000 hectares. Red Creek was 3,000 and Cameron Creek was 350 hectares. But again, I would go to bcwildfire.ca, look at the fires of note, and it should be the most relevant and up-to-date information there.
Next, we have Spencer Hall, Energetic City. Go ahead, Spencer.
Hi. Yeah, I'm based out of Fort St. John, and I'm just curious, is Fort St. John going to be getting, you know, additional wildfire support, like such as funding additional crews or anything like that?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I mean, you're right in the heart of it there. So I appreciate the question. I appreciate what you're going through up there. So yes, from a funding perspective, I won't speak to that right at this moment, but what I will speak to is that with the incident management team in place managing that complex, they ask for what they believe is needed to suppress that fire and to manage that fire. So they have actively already asked for more crews. They've asked for structure protection units, structure protection crews. All of those resources are already there. We're mobilizing more as we speak to go there at the request of the incident management team. So yes, there are more resources coming. From a funding perspective, absolutely. I think when we get through this fire season or even this fire that's active right now in May, there are lots of opportunities with our Community Resiliency Investment Program, which government has invested $90 million in at the last budget. So there are lots of opportunities to sit down and discuss opportunities to use prevention and fire management objectives in and around the community of Fort St. John.
Do you have a follow-up?
I do, yeah. You know, after the alert was issued yesterday, we saw a lot of people kind of panic buying, particularly at gas stations where we're very, very busy. Is there any kind of reassurance that you can offer to community members here in Fort St. John who are concerned and maybe don't know the difference between an alert and an order?
Yeah, and we have seen that in other areas in the province with historical fires, and I think, you know, we all probably remember what happened during the COVID pandemic with panic buying, and it's unfortunately kind of a natural human reaction to stress, and I'm not a psychologist, but I think what we need to do is we need to, like we see whenever our staff are in these communities, is the community really comes together. They come together and they work with us and they work as a community to try to support one another. These are stressful times. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of stress and there's a lot of unknown. And I think really my advice would be like, come together as a community, make sure you're looking after one another. And we do have Emergency Management and Climate Ready BC, the ministry over there that is really planning out what this is going to look like should an evacuation order go in place. That includes things like lodging, but it also includes fuel. It also includes food. So that is part of the planning process that's happening right now with the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center in Fort St. John, with Emergency Management and Climate Ready BC.
All right, thank you.
And we have Grady McTavish with CJDC. Go ahead, Grady.
Thank you very much for your time, guys, and thank you for your service. I'm obviously in Dawson Creek here, and we do have a lot of residents obviously concerned because we are almost, you know, surrounded by wildfires, and a few of them are quite big. In regards to livestock, because there are quite a bit of farmers and people that own livestock, are there any resources in place to protect that, or would that be something for the municipalities or for the Prince George Fire Center to handle?
No, it's a really good question. It is something that we work with our partners at Ministry of Agriculture as well as Emergency Management and Climate Ready BC. So I don't have specifics on Dawson Creek, but what I would say is that through the local EOC, that's if it's activated in Dawson Creek, that is where you would get the best source of information for how to manage the livestock. We recognize that's a major resource in the area where we have fires right now, and we need to ensure that we're supporting local ranchers and farmers to protect their animals and their livestock so that they can continue when the fires are out to run their business. So I would work with the local EOC.
Do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, and just kind of going off of Energetic City, for people in the area that are obviously, you know, scared at the wildfires and what's happening, what would you offer in terms of words of encouragement or support in this time here?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, I think BC Wildfire Service is a very proud organization that we move around this province to try to support the people who live in different areas, whether you're, you know, in Kamloops or whether you're in Fort St. John and Dawson Creek. And we are putting everything that we have to help suppress these fires and get people back home, and or if you're still home, to ensure that you can stay home. That is our job. That is what we're attempting to do. Now, obviously, the conditions are challenging, and we are monitoring the conditions to look for opportunities for us to have positive suppression efforts. But, you know, it's challenging. There are people in Alberta who've been out of their homes for 3 weeks already, and there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. So this is a challenging time. And I guess what I would say is very similar to what I said on the last answer. Come together as a community. Make sure that you're supporting one another and you're looking after one another, and you can talk with our staff as well that are in and around the community, right? They're happy to engage and try to offer more local encouragement, because obviously me sitting in Kamloops, I'm not necessarily familiar with exactly how each community is responding to the fires around it.
And we have time for one more question. Martin McMahon with City News. Go ahead, Martin.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. I saw some post from BC Hydro on social media about a pause of work at the Site C Dam over concerns related to the fire in that vicinity. I'm not sure if you could share any details about how close the fire is to the dam at this point and what the level of concern is.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have that right in front of me, so we'll have to get back to you on that, and we can commit to getting back to you on it, but I don't have information on that right now.
Do you have a follow-up?
No, that's fair enough. I'm just asking about that specific situation, so I'll reach out to Hydro as well, and perhaps your office as well. Thank you.
Thanks.
Perfect. And that's all the time that we have for questions today, so this will conclude today's event. Thank you, everyone.